Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quimery. The popular Gold Belt tram in downtown Juneau will remain closed as it undergoes repairs and inspections, according to the Gold Belt president and CEO, McHugh Pierre. The tram has been closed since late April after a tram car came to an abrupt halt at its bottom terminal. The incident sent two employees to the hospital with injuries. The tram was scheduled to open back up this Sunday, but in an interview with KTOO this afternoon, Pierre said that's no longer the case.
There is no date set to open until we are certified safe to operate. We don't know when that date will be. We anticipate opening this year. This is not a lost season, but we want to make sure that, again, safety is the priority, the only priority.
Pierre declined to go into details about what caused the incident or the status of the injured employees, citing legal reasons. But he says Gold Belt is working with multiple entities to inspect and repair the tram's cars and infrastructure so that an incident like this doesn't happen again. The closure comes nearly a month into Juneau's 2026 cruise ship tourism season. The tram is a popular visitor attraction that brings hundreds of thousands of riders up and down Mount Roberts each year. Pierre says residents and visitors should expect to see some changes at the terminals in the coming weeks.
We are going to take the tram cars off of the cables. And so, you know, you'll see the cars move. They'll be gone. And, you know, they'll get worked on and repaired, inspected and certified. And then we'll mount them back on the cables for use.
Pierre says that while the tram is not running, Gold Belt has reopened its bottom terminal for visitors, which has a coffee shop and a gift section. He said Gold Belt is working to retain as many seasonal employees as it can during the closure. Earlier this month, Gold Belt announced it would be refunding all prepaid tickets for time slots during the closure period and issued a refund to season pass holders. But he said once the tram opens up again, those season passes will still be valid for use. He says Gold Belt plans to keep people informed about the status of the tram on its social media pages and website. More than 300 high school seniors are expected to graduate in Juneau this Sunday. Yakuske Dekahiri High School will hold its graduation for 34 seniors at the Zontakahini campus at noon. The ceremony will include remarks by interim principal Lori Hoover and be followed by a reception in the commons. Tickets are not required to attend. Later on Sunday, 280 seniors are expected to walk at Juneau Douglas High School Yada'at Kahle's graduation. That includes students graduating from Homebridge, the district's homeschool program. The ceremony will be held in the gymnasium at 4 p.m. and includes a keynote address by local performer and theater owner Colette Costa. Tickets are required. The Juneau School District will live stream both high school graduations over Zoom. Find the links on JunoSchools.org. The volunteer-organized Safe Grad Party will be held the Sunday night at the University of Alaska Southeast Recreation Center. It's open and free to all high school seniors in the community. Attendees must arrive on buses departing from JDHS and Thunder Mountain Middle School at 8:30 p.m. The school year in Juneau wrapped up for all students on Wednesday. The last contract day for teachers was Thursday. And Alaska Airlines might add a flight from Juneau to Portland without stopping in Seattle. It's one possibility among several changes the airline is talking about. KTOO's Alex Solomon reports.
Scott Haberstad manages the airline's Alaska market. At a Juneau Chamber of Commerce luncheon on Thursday, he presented several changes Alaska Airlines is making. Some are promised, like new flights to international destinations, free Starlink Wi-Fi for Atmos Rewards members, expansions at several rural airport terminals throughout Alaska, and finishing upgrades at the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport.
What we're doing will help decongest it in our area. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be a lot better than you've seen over the last year. I can guarantee and promise you that.
But one idea is very much up in the air.
I talked up here last year about wanting to go Juneau to Portland.
Haberstad says the flight could help travelers skip some of the bottleneck issues at SeaTac and offer more connection options. But he says it presents a hurdle.
As we dug into it, the challenge is we couldn't add an incremental flight because there's not enough demand for it. And so I'd have to take a flight from Seattle to make it work.
Angela Rodell, a member of the Juneau International Airport Board, interjected.
Take off a Seattle route, Scott.
Haberstad says he wants to, but can't find out which regular flight the airline could move from landing in SeaTac to landing in Portland International Airport that wouldn't hurt travelers coming from Alaska. Alaska Airlines typically runs about 5 to 10 flights from Juneau to Seattle per day, depending on the season, including direct flights and milk runs that stop in Sitka, Ketchikan, Petersburg, and Wrangell. SeaTac is currently the only airport connecting Juneau to the lower 48. Following the presentation, Rodell says she wants the airline to be serious about trying to make the Portland route work.
Make it a pilot, make it a test, see how Southeast Alaska responds to it. I think they'll be surprised with the uptake on that, actually.
Andreas Delgado is the Juneau International Airport manager. He says he's confident it will happen.
I don't think that we'll go without a PDX route for very much longer. I think it's coming. It's just getting that ball rolling with Alaska Airlines.
Delgado says it's not a matter of if, but when. Haberstad is a bit more hesitant. He says the airline is always looking at the possibility. In the best case scenario, he says Juneau could see a flight to Portland next summer. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And Douglas Island Pink and Chum celebrates its 58th anniversary this year. The Juneau Hatchery, commonly known as DIPAC, was founded in 1976. That was shortly after the Alaska legislature passed a bill allowing private nonprofits to operate salmon hatcheries as a way to rehabilitate low salmon runs. KTOO's Mike Lane talked with DIPAC's executive director, Katie Harms, about highlights from the last 5 decades.
So where was the original hatchery then?
Original hatchery was on Douglas Island on Cowie Creek with a K right across the bridge. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's moved a couple of times, hasn't it?
Not necessarily moved. We had multiple hatcheries for a while. Yes. So good question there. And that was one of the McCauley family members' backyard at the time where this hatchery was started. So yes. Yeah. So we've had a few hatcheries since inception. That little hatchery didn't last long. Sheep Creek Hatchery was built in 1980 on just south of downtown in the Thane neighborhood, which is no longer active. That was our second hatchery. And the current active hatchery built and maintained by DIPAC is the McCauley Salmon Hatchery. Previously, Gastineau Hatchery was built in 1989.
I see. How many release sites were there originally? And how many are there now?
Yeah, originally it was just Gastineau Channel, right from Cowie Creek. They started rearing salmon in net pens at Sheep Creek in the early 80s. That was the beginning. And then in the 90s, we started expanding a little bit more. In 1990, Amalga Harbor was our first year releasing out there for chum salmon. And we started expanding our Chinook and Coho program in the late 80s, early 90s as well. So that growth period really was in the late 80s, early 90s. We currently operate 5 chum salmon release sites.
Now, this is the 50th year in operation. What does the next 50 years of DIPAC look like?
Yeah, we hope to see stability in our operations. Obviously, we're significantly impacted in changing climate. Salmon don't like warm water, so it's nice to see a cold year, but I know that's not the necessary trend. So we're continuing to be a part of salmon research in Alaska to try to determine what's best for the environment, these salmon, and continue these programs into the future financially for everyone that is supported by them as well as culturally and emotionally attached to salmon.
Katie Harms, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thanks for having me.
That was DIPAC's Executive Director, Katie Harms, talking with KTOO's Mike Lane about highlights from the last 50 years of the salmon hatchery. And hundreds of people gathered in Hoonah last weekend to officially unveil a new totem pole arch and honor wall dedicated to Hoonah veterans and their families. KTOO's Clarice Larson was there and has the story.
More than 100 people walked off a catamaran and into Hoonah on Saturday morning. They were there to join dozens of other Hoonah residents who gathered to witness the unveiling of 2 memorials dedicated to veterans and their families. The first memorial is a new archway anchored by 2 cedar totem poles called Kutias and Tlingit, one depicting a raven warrior and the other an eagle warrior. It's located near Icy Strait Point and welcomes people as they walk down the seawalk path toward town.
We see strength in these poles.
George Bennett, an Army veteran, says Hoonah's roots in the military run deep, and it's important to pay tribute to those who served.
They give us the strength. When people walk this path, hopefully they will feel the strength that we have given back to our community through our participation to be a part of the armed forces.
Hoonah is home to many veterans. Alaska consistently has the highest percentage of veterans in the country, and Hoonah has one of the highest shares of any town. Former Alaska Native Brotherhood Grand President Marcelo Quinto says it's what makes Hoonah's community unique.
Our people have always been in line to protect our part of the country, and we're very proud of it.
Master artist Gordon Greenwald designed and carved the memorial with help from 3 other carvers.
None of us are veterans. But we are honored to be able to honor you folks Without veterans, I feel we would not be free people.
A few hours later, another ceremony was held to officially unveil an honor wall at the Veterans Memorial Park in downtown Hoonah. The park is on land donated by Korean War veteran Stanley Steamy Thompson, who passed away in 2021. The projects were in collaboration between the city of Hoonah and the Hoonah Heritage Foundation. The honor wall is lined with the names of hundreds of Hoonah veterans and the branches of military they served. Hoonah Heritage Foundation leadership says they plan to continue to add names to the wall that might not have been recorded.
I think the honor is way long past overdue.
That's Nakwa Edward Williams Sr., an Army veteran. He stood at the ceremony reading the names on the wall. One is his dad, a combat veteran who served in the Korean War.
You don't realize as a child of a veteran the anguish and the pain that they cause you and you live with. And then you understand their insanity of what they've had to live through and the pain that they had to go through. I did not understand that until I joined the Army.
He said growing up in Hoonah, he watched the community struggle with the traumas of war and the impact it left on the veterans who returned home. He said he's happy to see the community take steps toward acknowledging that pain and healing from it together.
I think for me, the honor comes and grows the more we honor these kind of things. A lot of ugly has happened, whether in war or whether when I came home to it. But this is how we heal. This is exactly how we heal. Or at least I heal.
In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And it's 47 degrees and raining a little bit in Juneau this afternoon. Looks like we're expecting some more showers this afternoon and tonight. Tomorrow, those might build up over the course of the day, showers mainly in the afternoon. Sunday and Monday look like they could be dry, with temperatures in the 50s. This is KTOO.